Are we ready for a message today? Because I believe this is a message from Adonai. I believe it to be. You know, as believers, we're always saying we need to be righteous, just as Adonai is righteous. We speak of what that would look like in righteousness in us. But what does it look like in Adonai? And we say the same thing about love. We want to love like Adonai. We love him because he loved us first. But, you know, what does love look like in him? And these are two things that Adonai definitely are. They're not the only thing that he is. He's not just righteousness, and he's not only just righteousness and love, but they're two attributes of him. And I want to look at these things because this week I asked myself, you know, of these two, of righteousness and love, which one comes first? Which one's greater in him? Righteousness or love? So that's what we're doing today, righteousness or love. So let's look at righteousness first. Now, a definition of righteousness of God is that it's a divine attribute of God. It is him acting always in a way that is consistent with his own character. It is his being consistently consistent in judgment and in actions. God is righteous. God is righteous himself, which is different than saying he acts righteous. And he looks for us to be righteous. And he provides that righteousness for us. And he rewards us when we have that righteousness upon us. He provides it for us. So it's a little different than him. A person is righteous. A person who is righteous lives up to the standard of Adonai. That person acts in the right way that should be done in situations. A righteous man is one who is in right standing and who does what is suitable, one who maintains a right relationship with Adonai and does what is expected by Adonai of him. This is called living up to the standard of righteousness, right? Now, Adonai does not live up to the standard of righteousness. Sounds strange. But Adonai does not live up to the standard of righteousness because he is the standard of righteousness. If we were to say that he lives up to a standard, then we're saying that someone else set that standard for him. But we know no one else sets it. He is the righteous. Therefore, we know no one can be above him. We know no one can set a standard. And of course, there is no one who stands besides him. He stands alone and above all. We should understand that Adonai is not duty bound to be righteous. But instead, he is righteous because that is who he is. And he acts based on who he is. It's because he's righteous that we know that all rewards for right living or punishments for being unjust and unrighteous is therefore deserved. He's never made a mistake about it. He is unable by his very nature to give out an unjust reward or an unjust consequence of our actions. We read in Scripture many times that he is righteous and that he wants us to be also. For example, Psalm 11, it says this in Psalm 11:7, "For Adonai is righteous, he loves justice. The upright will see his face." It says that Adonai is Zedek, which is righteous. And the Yashar, which is the upright or the righteous, will see his face. In other words, he'll love them. So there is the righteousness of Adonai, and there's the righteousness that we can act out. And although we strive to be like him, we can never be exactly like him. He is righteous, and he loves those that are righteous, but the two righteousnesses are not the same righteousness. Even the righteousness of Abraham was not the same as that of Adonai's. And we see this in Genesis 15:6, when it says this about Abraham. Genesis 15:6. Then he believed in Adonai, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So that first he, then he believed, was Abraham, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. That's Adonai giving Abraham righteousness, reckoning Abraham to be righteous. The word for righteousness there is tzedekah, which is righteousness or justice. Adonai is righteousness. It is not that he acts that way, but that he actually is that. But that can never describe Abraham, just as it can never describe us. It will never be said that we are made of righteousness. Adonai is made of righteousness. We may act righteous, but we're not made of righteousness. It's just not possible to say that we are the righteous of Adonai, the same righteousness. We are righteous of Adonai, but not the same. He is, we act it. It is Adonai's makeup, his character, to always do what is right. His actions are not based on his feelings. They're not based on what's going on around him. You know, this morning I was going and I was going, oh, but this, oh, but that, oh, but this. And I snapped at my wife even because I was feeling frustrated. Never Adonai. He never reacts to feelings. He never reacts to what's going on. He just always is righteous. When we read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham looks to save the city because he didn't know the full extent of the wickedness. Too many syllables in these words today. But during his bargaining with Adonai, he says, shall the judge of the whole world not exercise justice? Now, he wasn't questioning, he wasn't accusing Adonai, but he was proving that he knew the righteousness of Adonai. Even before scripture was put on paper, he knew Adonai's righteousness. And we're told this again in Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3:5. Adonai is righteous in her midst. He will do no injustice. Morning by morning, he brings his justice to light. He does not fail. Yet the unjust know no shame. For us, righteousness is the moral and correct way to act, as told to us in Scripture. And we actually get to decide how we're going to act, whether it's righteously or unrighteously. But for Adonai, there is no decision of should I act justly or unjustly? Should I be righteous or unrighteous? He just is righteous. He just does it himself all the time. There is no decision to be made by Adonai. That's why we read earlier in Psalm 11. It says that the upright Well, the one who acts righteously will see his face. It is when they make the decision to act rightly that they get to see his face. Adonai doesn't need to make that decision. He just is. Now, many times Adonai shows us what righteousness is by telling us how not to act. An example of this is 2 Corinthians 6:14, which presents two different sides of righteousness or lawlessness. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness?" So we're told the opposite of righteousness is lawlessness and darkness. By telling us what the opposite is, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is telling us in another way what righteousness truly is. Because for some, hearing what not to do is an easier way to envision what we're to be. Different people learn different ways. So it says, don't have darkness or lawlessness in you. Some may want to say, aha, that's all but good. But some look for that loophole. They say, what about the other shades of gray? You know, you said light and dark. What about all that in the middle? When it comes to salvation, when it comes to righteousness, there is only black and white. Nothing in between. This is why we're told in Romans 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. In unrighteousness, they suppress the truth." Shaul says the unrighteousness suppresses, where it hides the truth of Adonai. It does not say that the darkness or unrighteousness makes it difficult to see the truth of Adonai. It says it hides it. There are no shades. There are no grades. There's no graduating up to it. There's no dimmer switch that you can turn. I'll be more righteous, I'll be less righteous. Adonai is going to be more righteous or less righteous. Doesn't work that way. You can't turn righteousness up or down. This is why we need Messiah, because we're not able to gradually sneak up to it. It has to be imparted to us. That is how we gain our righteousness. He just is. We gain it through him. In Romans 4, it repeats what we read in Genesis 15 about Abraham. "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." The word for credited is the Greek logizomai. The word does not mean that you become, but that you are numbered among or counted with. So it's saying that you're considered righteous, but you do not become the righteous of Adonai, the righteousness of Adonai. It's not the same as Adonai's righteousness. As close as I can come to an illustration on it about this, is let's say your 10-year-old does something and you say, "Oh, that's so good, just like an adult." Well, that 10-year-old is not an adult. Doesn't have the body of a 10-year-old, of an adult. Doesn't have the mind of a 10-year-old yet. But you told them doing that made you just like an adult. That's just like us. In our righteousness to Adonai, we do things that make us righteous like Adonai. But we don't have his body, we don't have his spirit, we don't have his makeup. We can't say that in ourselves we have righteousness. Of everything we're made up with is righteous. That's not who we are. Doesn't mean we don't continue to try to be like him. But we'll never be exactly like him in our plate and in our abilities regarding his righteousness or anything else about him. We strive to be more like, but we'll never be exactly like. And this leaves us up to our transition to love. When Rav Shaul wrote the letter to Titus, he gave us another hint of what righteousness is, as well as what love is. So Titus 3, 3 through 7 says, "We were once sinful, but by his love, and not his righteousness or ours, he saved us." Shaul shows that there's a difference between Adonai's love and his righteousness. Because some people put them together and think they're the same thing. They're really not. It's his love that saves us. In fact, it's his love that saves us from his righteousness. His righteousness says there's a punishment. His love saves us from that punishment. In Exodus 34, 6, we see the 13 attributes of Adonai. One of the attributes is his loving kindness. The word chesed, we hear that in some of the liturgy that we say every week. Exodus 34, 6, starting there. "Then Adonai passed before him and proclaimed, Adonai, Adonai, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, showing mercy to a thousand generations, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, yet by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, by bringing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation." Now, this is considered to be the most well-known use of the word chesed. But it's also one of the hardest words to translate into English. English just doesn't really have a word that matches exactly. So over the centuries, different translations translate chesed differently. Now, the Wycliffe Bible in the late 1300s translated chesed as steadfast love. And interestingly enough, coming back to modern times, the ESV uses the same steadfast love. The King James Bible in the 1600s translated as goodness. Young's literal translation, mid-1800s, translates it as kindness. The World English Bible in the 1900s, used two words, loving kindness. The NIV, later 1900s, 1978, I think it came out, simply stated chesed as love. And in fact, there's a very current translation, Transparent English Bible, uses the translation of chesed as loyal love. They never could come to one word of what chesed is because it's so much more than a single word in English. Now, Jacob is a great example of God's chesed, his loyal love, his loving kindness. Jacob lies, he cheats, he steals, yet God upholds his covenant to Jacob. And Jacob recognizes that how unworthy he is. And it's his faith and his trust that Jacob has that keeps bringing him back to Adonai. And that continually coming back is what allows Adonai to continually cleanse him, so that he can be in his presence. Romans 3 speaks of God's love as imparting righteousness Or in reality, that righteousness sometimes should be translated as salvation. By his love to those who have faith in him. In fact, we see this as a two-step process going there. First, we see the effect of Torah, the effect of his instructions on us, according to Romans 3:20. Romans 3:20 says, "For no human, on the basis of Torah observance, will be set right in his sight. For through the Torah comes awareness of sin." We can't be set right by Torah. Because no one can fully live out Torah. Can't do everything in Torah. Never mind the fact that about a third or almost a third of Torah has to do with temple or the sacrifices that go on in the temple. But Torah does show us our sins that we have within ourselves. Sin or iniquity has always been there. It's always part of us. Torah just points it out to us. This is where the righteousness comes into our lives. Each is treated the same, regardless of who we are. Remember earlier I said righteousness of Adonai is the consistency in how he judges people. Now we see it in action. Now we can observe it based on the instructions. Therefore, all are judged as sinners because no one can keep it all. Everyone's a sinner. And all sinners are treated exactly the same way. This is where the second part comes in. Adonai's love and how it plays in our life. Let's continue on with Romans 3:21. But now God's righteousness apart from the Torah has been revealed, to which the Torah and the prophets bear witness. Namely, the righteousness of God through putting trust in Messiah Yeshua to all who keep on trusting. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are set right as a gift of his grace through the redemption that is Messiah Yeshua. Just as his righteousness was that he judged everyone equally in the same way, so is his righteousness that he loves everyone equally and in the same way. He is consistent in both justice and salvation, righteousness and love. And we see this in Psalm 71:2. Deliver me and rescue me in your justice. Turn your ear to me and save me. In your justice is also another way of saying in your righteousness. So Psalm 71:2 is really the flip side of righteousness of Adonai. Just as he is just in equal punishment, he is righteous in equal salvation to all those who call on his name. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what they've done before. It doesn't matter how sinful they were, because the smallest sin is righteously judged the same as the largest sin. In fact, there is no smaller sin and larger sin. They're all just sin in his eyes. In the Tanakh, it was through the faith in Adonai and the blood of the sacrifices on the altar. And now it's through Messiah Yeshua and his blood. King David is another great example of this. He sinned more than once, but also returned to Adonai's love each and every time. And in his heart, he was repentant, and he didn't want to sin again. Judgment remains on those who do not place their faith in the blood of Yeshua. Just as the blood of the animals back then So it is the blood of Messiah Yeshua now. If David didn't shed the blood of animals then on the altar, the same thing would have happened to him as those who do not accept the blood of Yeshua today. The love is that when judgment occurs, cleansing by the blood is extended to each person, and that it can occur, will occur, as long as you accept the gift. The same aspect of God's righteousness was first expressed in the Garden of Eden. Adonai set the instruction to Adam and Eve, who he loved and desired to have fellowship with in the garden. But they ate the fruit. They were instructed not to. The ones that Adonai loved, the one who he walked in the cool of the evening with, sinned, broke his instruction. In other words, sinned. Surely he could overlook them, but he couldn't because of his righteousness. Doesn't matter what the relationship is. His righteousness is righteous. Just. Can't be overlooked. The love is that even after the fruit was eaten, he still loved them. And all throughout Scripture, the whole point is to bring us all back to him. That's his love. His righteousness is that we all get treated the same. His love is that we all get treated the same. That when we come back to him, he'll accept us. He is making a way back. He has made the way back. The righteousness of people is different from Adonai's righteousness. People many times, right? How often do we hear people saying to their children, if you do that, I'm going to punish you. But then what? Oh, but I love him so much. How can I punish him? Just don't do it again. And what happens? Did a child fall short? Did they learn the lesson? They actually did not. You're right. They thought love overrides righteousness. We see it all the time in our lives. We see it all the time in us too. That's because we're not him. We're not Adonai. The result of iniquity really is punishment and has to be doled out to everyone. But the love of Adonai, he takes the punishment for us, the eternal punishment for us, in the form of Messiah. The purpose of Adonai's righteousness in these cases is not to correct actual. Purpose, but it is what happens every single time without fail. That the punishment has to be paid out. And that paying out is the separation, the eternal separation. It may not happen right now. I sin, and it doesn't mean I'm dying right now today. But it doesn't mean the punishment isn't. I hate to make that equivalent of wait till your father gets home. Wait till you get home. If you're not right with him, that's when the punishment really gets doled out. There may be consequences in this world, without a doubt. But that's not the punishment. The punishment, because he's righteous, will happen though. If Adonai wasn't righteous, then the punishment wouldn't be eternal, as it's stated in Scripture. Then the time in hell would only be for a limited time. Or it'd be a retest. Every once in a while, you get tested again in hell. And if you pass, you come out. We giggle, but it's because it's not true. Just not the way it works. It never says that in Scripture. It sounds wonderful, but it's not true. His righteousness is eternal punishment, but His love is to redeem and restore eternally. But there's only one way that Adonai can pay the price for all of us. It is when there is faith in Messiah Yeshua and the blood. We're assured of His love for us in 1 John 4. 1 John 4:9, the love of God was revealed among us by this. All right, here is the love of God. You're going to read it right here. That God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we've loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atonement for our sins. That's His love. Adonai does not have to save anybody of their sins. Doesn't have to save anybody of their sin. He's not obligated to. Because everyone sins. But it's His nature to do it. It's His nature to love. It's His nature to save. But this can only be accomplished through our faith. It is through our faith in Him that He's able to provide us with the righteousness after the price has been paid. It's after the price has been paid. Not before, not during. It's after the price is paid. And that price is death. The price of sin is death. When we're saved, then we're giving that righteousness. We saw when I read Romans 3:24 a moment ago that Adonai sent His Son as atonement so that He could remain righteous while still saving us from our sin, which is a showing of love towards us. So the question, how does He remain righteous by sending His Son to die for us? How did He remain righteous that His Son paid the price for our sin? It is because being consistent means that the price had to be paid. And by providing the Lamb, Yeshua, that price is paid. And it is for all of us who look upon Him, all of us who accept the blood, who accept Messiah Yeshua as our Savior. That is why we're told in Psalm 145 this, starting in 17. Adonai upholds all who fall and rises up, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them blood. You give them their food on time. You open their hand and satisfy every living thing with favor. Adonai is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His deeds. All He upholds, all who bow down, all who look to Him. He gives food to everyone all the time. You satisfy every living thing with favor. Everyone. That's His righteousness and His love. His righteousness is that He treats everyone the same, including His love. He is consistently consistent. This brings us back to the opening question. Which came first and which is greater, righteousness or love? Now some would see this as a chicken and the egg question. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Mona, you have a bunch of chickens, but let me answer it first. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, Scripture tells us Adonai created the animal that laid the egg, so the chicken has to come first. Boom! Mic drop! When we ask the question about righteousness or love, which came first? Well, I have to see that love is salvation and forgiveness, then righteousness had to come first. Because we wouldn't need love and we wouldn't need salvation if there wasn't a righteousness of God. Because if he wasn't righteous, he'd just overlook. He can't because he's righteous. So I think righteousness comes first in chronological order. But which one's greater? They're equal. They truly are equal in him. It is important for us that in our relationship with Adonai, that we set ourselves up as righteous with him, as right with him, as right as possible with him, so that love can come and cover our sins and make atonement for us. So there's the question. Which is greater? Which came first, righteousness or love? They're equal. Which came first? I think righteousness. Which is a greater of the two attributes? If you say it's love without righteousness, which means he can apply it unevenly. So I say they're even. I say they're the same as in weight. And I say that's what makes him great, is that he is righteous in his love, among other things that he's righteous in. Adonai, we thank you. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your righteousness, because without your righteousness, are we to stop and think that you're going to just pick and choose who you love? That it depends upon whether we acted correctly or not? But instead, because of your righteousness, when we accept Messiah Yeshua and the blood that was spilled for us, that we know, that we know, that we know that we will be cleansed of our sin. And as long as we are repentant and keep returning back to you, you will accept us. And by your Ruach HaKodesh, help us to change. I pray that as we keep coming back to you, we don't have to change as much because we're learning. I pray that for those of us who are addicted to whatever sin it is that we have, it can be, you know, it can be anger. It can be jealousy. Maybe it's the drugs. Maybe it's the drinking. Whatever it may be, that each time we return, we're less of it. More of you and less of us and less of our sin. Ruach HaKodesh, we thank you that you're within and you help and counsel and you change us each and every day. We thank you that we can look towards your love because of your righteousness. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to walk in a way that would help us, that will make us more right in relationship with you. We thank you for your word, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your righteousness. We all said, Amen.